Blog Talk Radio.
Young people going to stand up real quick. Come on. Come on, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You got to get, come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
Out there, podcast, and welcome, 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 and thank you for tuning in. This is a hot podcast on Block Talk Radio. This is a messenger edition. I'm Nurse Carmen, your co-producers Ken and Ron Hodge, and next we will be having a conversation with the messenger, Ron Hodge.
Good evening, and thank you once again, Nurse Carmen, for that lovely introduction. Once again, we are back here talking, hope, listening, and remembering. Remember this, if you don't go within, you will go without. Tonight, we're going to speak about love. Love is that which is unlimited. There is no beginning and no end to it. No before and no after. Love always was, always is, and always will be. So love is also always, it's the always reality. Now, get back to another word we used before, freedom. For if love is unlimited and always, then love is free. Love is that which is perfectly free. Now, in human reality, you will find that you will always seek to love and be loved, and you will find that you will always yearn for that love to be unlimited, and you will find that you will always wish you could be free to express it. You will seek freedom, unlimitedness, eternity, and every experience of love. You may not always get it, but that is what you will seek. You will seek this because that is what love is. And at some deep place, you know that because you are love, and through the expression of love, you are seeking to know and to experience who and what you are. You are life expressing life, love expressing love, and God expressing God. All these words are therefore synonymous. Think of them as the same thing. God, life, love, unlimited, eternal, free. Anything which is not one of these things is not any of these things. You are all of those things, and you will seek to experience yourself as all of these things sooner or later. So what does that mean sooner or later? It depends on when you get over your fear. As I've said, fear is false evidence appearing real. It is that which you are not. You will seek to experience that which you are when you are through experiencing that you are not. So you say, who wants to experience fear? Well, nobody wants to. You're taught to. A child experiences no fear. He thinks he can do anything. Nor does a child experience lack of freedom. She thinks she can love anyone. Nor does a child experience lack of life. Children believe they will live forever. And people who act like children think nothing can hurt them. Nor does a child know any ungodly things. That the child is taught ungodly things by grown-ups. And so children run around naked and hug everyone, thinking nothing of it. If adults could only do the same thing.
Okay.
So, well, children do this beauty of innocence. Adults cannot get back to that innocence, because when adults get naked, there is always that sex thing. Yes, of course. God forbids that sex thing. Be innocent and freely experience. Actually, God did forbid it. Adam and Eve were perfectly happy running around naked in the Garden of Eden until Eve ate of the fruit of the tree, the knowledge of God, good and evil. Then you condemned God. Then God condemned us to a present state, for we are all guilty of that original sin. But I'm here to tell you, God did no such thing. And that's just giving a shout out for everyone to that religious story that we like to believe. So that was just kind of like a little humor thrown in there to show you how religion can really mess with us. Okay, so I was saying, you will strive as humans to experience a love that is unlimited, eternal, and free. The institution of marriage has been our attempt at creating eternity with it. You agree to become partners for life, but this did little to produce a love which was unlimited and free. And you say, well, why not? If marriage is freely chosen, isn't it an expression of freedom? And to say that you are going to demonstrate your love sexually with no one else but your spouse is not a limitation, it's a choice. And a choice is not a limitation. Is it the exercise of freedom? And I say, as long as that continues to be the choice. And then you say, well, it has to be. That was the promise. And then here's what I say to you. Yes, and that's where the trouble begins. Okay, look, there may come a time when you want to experience a high degree of specialness in a relationship. Not that one person is more special to you than another, but that the way you choose to demonstrate with one person the depth of love you have for all people and for life itself is unique to that person alone. The way you demonstrate love to each person you do love is unique. You demonstrate your love to no two people in exactly the same way. Because you are a creature, and a creator of originality. Everything you create is original. It is not possible for any thought, word, or action to be duplicative. You cannot duplicate you. It can only be original. Do you know why no two snowflakes are alike? Because it is impossible for them to be. Creation is not duplication, and the creator can only create. This is why no two snowflakes are alike, no two people are alike, no two thoughts are alike, no two relationships are alike, and no two of anything are alike. The universe and everything in it exists in singular form, and there truly is nothing else like it. This is the divine dichotomy again. Everything is singular, yet everything is one. Each finger on your hand is different, yet it is all the same hand. The air in your house is the air that is everywhere, yet the air from room to room is not the same, but feels markedly different. It is the same with people. All people are one, yet no two people are alike. You could not, therefore, love two people in the same way, even if you tried. And you would never want to, because love is a unique response to that which is unique. So when you demonstrate your love for one person, you are doing so in a way in which you cannot do so with another. Your thoughts, words, and actions, your responses are literally impossible to duplicate one of a kind, just as is the person for whom you have these feelings. If the time has come when you have desired this special demonstration with one person alone, then choose it. As you say, announce it, yet make your declaration and announcement moment to moment of your freedom, but not your ongoing obligation. For true love is always free, and obligations cannot exist in the space of love. If you see your decision to express your love in a particular way with only one particular other as a sacred promise, never to be broken, the day may come when you will experience that promise as an obligation, and you will resent it. Yet, if you see this decision not as a promise made only once, but as a free choice made over and over, that day of resentment will never come. Remember this, there is only one sacred moment, one sacred promise, and that is to tell and live your truth. All other promises are forfeits of freedom, and that can never be sacred, for freedom is who you are. If you forbid freedom, forfeit freedom, you forfeit yourself. And that is not a sacrament. That is blasphemy. Now, as most of you are now living your lives, there is a lie built into every promise. The lie is that you can know now how you feel about a thing and what you will want to do about that thing on any given tomorrow. You cannot know this if you are living your life as a reactive being, which most of us are. Only if you are living life as a creative being can your promise not contain a lie. Creative beings can know how they are going to feel about a thing at any time in the future, because creative beings create their feelings rather than experiencing them. Until you can create your fortune, your future, you cannot predict your future. Until you can predict your future, you cannot promise anything truthfully about it. Yet, even one who creates and predicts her future has the authority and to change. Change is a fundamental right of all creatures. Indeed, it is more than a right, for a right is that which is given. Change is that which is. Change is. That which is change, you are. You cannot be given this, you are this. Now, since you are change, and since change is the only thing constant about you, you cannot promise to always be the same. So the process in which we call life, the process of recreation, all of life is constantly recreating itself anew in every moment of now. And this process identically is impossible, since it is a thing, since if a thing is identical, it has not changed at all. Yet, why identically is impossible, similarity is not. Similarity is the result of the process of change, producing a remarkable semblance version, a similar version of what went before, of what went before. When creativity reaches a high level of similarity, you can call that identically. And from the gross perspective of your limited viewpoint, it is. Therefore, in our terms, there appears to be great consistency in the universe. That is, things seem to look alike and act alike and react alike. You see consistency here. This is good, for it provides a framework within which you may consider and experience your existence in the physical. Yet, I tell you this, viewed from the perspective of all life, that which is physical and that which is non-physical, the appearance of constants disappears. Things are experienced as they really are, constantly changing. So what I'm saying is that sometimes the changes are so delicate, so subtle, that from our less discerning viewpoint, they appear the same, sometimes exactly the same, when in fact they are not. Yet we can recreate ourselves anew in a form sufficiently similar to produce the effects of constants. Excuse me. And we do this in human relationships in terms of who we are and how we behave. Although most of us find this is very difficult, because true consistency, as opposed to the appearance of consistency, violates the natural law. As we have just learned, it takes a great master to even create the appearance of identically. A master overcomes every natural tendency. Remember that the natural tendency is towards change, to show up as identically. In truth, we cannot show up identically from moment to moment, but we can show up as significantly similar to the created, the create the appearance of being identical. Yet people are not masters to show up identically all the time. I know people whose behavior and appearance are so predictable you can stake your life on them. Yet, effort to do this intentionally, the master is one who has a high level of similarity, what we would call consistency, intentionally. A student is one who creates consistency without necessarily intending to. A person who always reacts the same way to certain situations, for instance, will often say, "I couldn't help it." A master would never say that. Even if a person's reaction produced an admirable behavior, something for which they receive praise, their response will often be, "Well, it was nothing. It was automatically, really. Anybody would do it." A master would never do either. A master, therefore, is a person who quite literally knows what he is doing. She also knows why. People operating at levels of mastery often know neither. This is why it's so difficult to keep promises. It is one reason, as I've said, until you can predict your future, you cannot promise anything truthfully. A second reason people find it difficult to keep promises is that they come into conflict with authenticity. All right, so what do you mean by that? I mean that their evolving truth about a thing differs from what they said their truth would also be. And also, they are deeply conflicted what to obey, my truth or my promise. Betrayal of yourself in order not to betray another is betrayal nonetheless. It is the highest betrayal. But that would lead to promises being broken all over the place. Nobody's word on anything would matter. Nobody would be counting on for anything. And so you have been counting on others to keep their word, have you? No wonder we've been so miserable. Then you say, well, who's been miserable? If you take a look at the people, you could just look in their face and see that they're miserable. But even though they don't want to admit it, that they are miserable. A great deal of time, even when you have had every reason to be happy, you allow yourself to be miserable, worrying about whether you'll be able to hold on to your happiness. And the reason you've even had to worry about this is that holding on to your happiness has depended to a large degree on other people keeping their word. So you're asking, do I have the right to expect or at least hope that other people will keep their words? Why would you want such a right? The only reason that another person would not keep their word to you would be because they didn't want to, or they felt they couldn't, which is the same thing. And if a person did not want to keep his word to you for some reason, felt he just couldn't, why on earth would you want him to? Do you really want someone to keep an agreement she does not want to keep? Do you feel people should be forced to do things they don't feel they can do? Why would you want to force anyone to do anything against his will? So why try this? Because to let them get away not doing what they said they were going to do would hurt me or my family. So in order to avoid an injury, you're willing to inflict injury. Yet you must see it as injurious, or he would keep it willingly. So do you really think that if you force another to keep a promise that you will have escaped injury? I tell you this, more damage has been done to others by persons leading lives of quiet desperation, that doing what they felt they had to do, than ever was done by persons freely doing what they wanted to do. When you give a person freedom, you remove danger. You don't increase it. Yes, letting someone off the hook on a promise or commitment made to you may look like it will hurt you in the short run, but it will never damage you in the long run. Because when you give the other person their freedom, you give yourself freedom as well. And so now you are free of the agony and the sorrow, the attack on your dignity and your work, your self-worth that inevitably follows when you force another person to keep a promise to you that he or she does not want to keep. The longer damage will far outweigh the shorter, as nearly everyone who has tried to hold another person to their word has discovered. So you say, should this be the same idea hold true in business? Actually, it is the only sane way to do business. The problem right now in our whole society is that it is based on force, legal force, which you call the force of law, and too often physical force, which you call the world's armed forces. You have not yet learned to use the art of persuasion. If not by legal force, the force of law through the courts, how would we persuade businesses to meet the terms of their contract and keep their agreement? Given your current culture ethics, there may not be another way. Yet, with the change of cultural ethics, the way you are now seeking to keep businesses and individuals, for the matter, from breaking their agreement would appear very primitive. You can now use you are now using force to make sure agreements are kept. When your cultural ethics is changed to include an understanding that you are all one, you would never use force because that would only damage yourself. You would not slap your face. I'm sorry, you would not slap your left hand with your right hand. There is another thing which would not happen. You would stop strangling yourself. You would stop biting your nose to spite your face. You would stop breaking your agreements. And, of course, your agreements themselves would be much different. You would not agree to give something of value which you have to, I'm sorry, which you have to another only if you had something of value to give in exchange. You would never hold back on giving or sharing something until you got what you call a just return. You would give and share automatically, and so there would be far fewer contracts to break because a contract is about the exchange of goods and service, whereas your life would be about the giving of goods and service, regardless of what exchange may or may not take place. Yet in this kind of one-way giving would your salvation bound, for you would have discovered that God has experience. What you give to another, you give to yourself. What goes around comes around. All things that proceed from you return to you. Sevenfold, so there is no need to worry about what you are going to get back. There is only a need to worry about what you are going to give out. Life is about creating the highest quality giving, not the highest quality getting. You keep forgetting, but life is not forgetting. Life is forgiving. And in order to do that, you need to be forgiving to others, especially those who did not give you what you thought you were going to get. This switch will entail a complete shift of cultural stories. Today, what you call success in our culture is measured largely by how much you get, by how much honor and money, power, and possession you amass. In the new culture, success will be measured by how much you cause others to amass. The irony will be that the more you cause others to amass, the more you will amass effortlessly. No contracts, no agreements, no bargains, no negotiations or lawsuits or courts which force you to give to each other what was promised. In the future economy, you will not do things for personal profit, but for personal growth, which will be your profit. Yet profit in material terms will come to you as your growth, as you become a bigger and grander version of who you really are. On that note, I'm going to again to come out of this session. It has been an honor to be before you, and I hope that you could come back later, download this episode, listen to it. I try to get a lot out in the half an hour that we have, so I'm constantly talking. I'm going to try and slow down so that we have discussions, bring some things into this present stage, hopefully so that we can better understand. But as I said from the beginning, go within and listen to what it is that is being said, and let yourself answer these questions for you. I promise you, if you go within, it will come out what it is that you truly need to know. I thank you all very much for tuning in.
Thank you.
And I do look forward to talking and speaking to everyone again Sunday night at 9:00. God bless. Stay strong. Love you all.
Good night.
Good
thank
night.
You.
Good night.
Love you too.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm.